To delve further into the political implications of former President Trump's indictment, we turn now to the analysis of Brooks and Tumulty. That is New York Times columnist David Brooks and Karen Tumulty, columnist for The Washington Post. Jonathan Capehart is away this week. Welcome to you both. It's good to see you.
Great to be here.
Let's begin with the biggest story. Mr. Trump has been indicted. Republican allies now have been continuing his lines of attacking the prosecutor, and the prosecutor, using some anti-Semitic dog whistles, also some racist undertones to a lot of that. David, they could say, you know what, innocent until proven guilty. We believe in the justice system. But they're not saying that. Yeah. Why not?
Well, I guess, well, first, it's just a grave moment, and I'm struck by they are not being struck by the gravity of the moment of a former president being indicted. There's a good piece in Persuasion, one online site that I enjoy, looking at Trump's rhetoric over the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. And if we recall when he came down the escalator and even that first convention speech and the inauguration, American Carnage, it was mostly economic. Those people have betrayed you. But then it ramps up and it changes. And then last July or July of 2020, he was at Mount Rushmore, if you remember. Then it finally it's getting apocalyptic. And now it's entered full, we're in the final battle. Mm-hmm. That's the rhetoric that is being used now. And that has taken the populism and ratcheted up to militaristic levels. And right now, it's helping him. I mean, as the indictments have been talked about, his poll numbers are surging. And as we saw, every other Republican candidate, they can't attack Trump now. They got to rally around the guy. And so you just have this sense of this upward rising tide of bile in the body politic.
And, you know, you're right about the rhetoric. Yes, he has always sort of had, you know, really over-the-top rhetoric. But when he ran in 2016, he was a miracle worker. It was, I alone can fix it. Now he says, I am your retribution. You're right. The language is biblical. And it appeals, I think, not just to his evangelical base, but to QAnon conspiracy theorists. And we are now at an absolutely different level.
Meanwhile, Democrats' reaction so far, I want to ask you about that. President Biden was asked about this and stayed away, said no comment, absolutely. Is that the right approach for Dems right now?
Absolutely, because if they are going to make the argument that the process should be allowed to work, they have got to stay away from the process as much as they can. You know, not the same as is happening with a lot of their talking heads on television, but I think Democratic elected officials need to stay clear of this.
David, there's obviously a worrying moment. It's an unprecedented moment. Our democracy is being redefined and tested in new ways. But if you are a Republican weighing a 2024 bid right now, and there is all this uncertainty ahead, what do you do?
I think you have to take a second look. His numbers did not look dominating 3 or 4 months ago now. And they do look dominating now, right now. And so you have to think, well, that's a pretty steep hill to climb. I'm one of these people who wish the Georgia case had gone first.
Why is that?
Because it's trying to steal an election is a crime I can understand. Mm-hmm. Or the Washington investigation, trying to incite an insurrection, that's a crime I can understand. Falsifying business records? It looks a lot more complicated and a lot less sure. And we'll see what the indictment holds. I won't prejudge that. But, you know, the most similar case I'm aware of is the John Edwards case from, I don't know how long ago that was. That was a little while ago. And they couldn't get a conviction in his case. It's obviously not the same, but it's a little similar. And so it makes it so much easier for people to say, oh, this is just a political witch hunt, because it's not like the big, clear crime mm-hmm. that we actually have visual evidence for.
Karen, we know most Republicans, even before this indictment, but when there was a potential indictment looming, most Republicans said they wanted him to be president again. Does this make him stronger? Does it make it tougher for President Biden's reelection campaign?
I think in the short term, this is going to help Donald Trump, primarily because the Republican base is going to rally around him. But from here on, beyond that, nobody can predict. And if this case does fall apart in court, that helps Trump enormously. But the fact is, for people to hear over and over again about hush money to a porn star in the long run, I think is pretty corrosive.
I want to ask you about the bigger moment for our nation, because I went back and I read President Ford's remarks when he delivered the pardon for Richard Nixon. And at the time, his argument was the country had already been through bitter controversy and a divisive debate. And he said that in a trial, ugly passions would again be aroused and our people would again be polarized in their opinions. And the credibility of our free institutions of government would again be challenged at home and abroad. David, is the same true today?
Well, you know, I thought Gerald Ford made the right call. I thought it was a brave call that cost him the presidency, basically. And I'm glad Richard Nixon did not stand trial. Do I think that therefore we should not put Donald Trump on trial? No, I do not think that. But, you know, you go back, I do a lot of reading of political biography, especially from the 70s for some reason. It was a grim period, but the political establishment was in way better shape than it is now. There actually were people who could go into Nixon and say, you've got to resign.
There were Republicans who could go into Nixon and say, you have to resign. Yeah.
What do you make of this moment then? Given that historical context and what the nation has been through, we are a different nation today, it's fair to say.
Well, I think the polarization in the country is entirely deeper and more corrosive than it was then. I think Ford does this to ward off an indictment. And you're right, history has been very kind to him, but the electorate in 1976 was not. The country at that moment was not with Gerald Ford.
I do want to ask you, in the few minutes we have left, about another big story this week, which involves a fellow journalist overseas, of course. Russia this week arresting the Wall Street Journal reporter and American citizen Evan Gershkovich, accusing him of spying for the United States. That is the first time that has happened since 1986. And of course, we are thinking about our friends and colleagues at the Wall Street Journal and Evan's family. But David, in this moment, is this a clear escalation from Russia?
For sure. I mean, we all have covered place from foreign lands, sometimes not nice countries. And it's an attempt, first, to crack down on press coverage of Russia. And second, he may be just hostage taking for more trades. And so it's what happens as Putin gets more and more extreme and more isolated.
Karen, how do you look at it?
It also speaks to the way he is treating dissidents and critics in the country. It is appalling because there is absolutely no evidence of espionage. But I do think that he made a calculation that the whole Brittany Griner, the basketball player situation, really, you know, worked out in their favor. They released her and they got a really bad guy back. So I just don't know how the Biden administration handles this. But I think all of us need to keep attention on this and to continue to demand as loud as we can that he be released, because there is no evidence of espionage.
Knowing now this is a tactic, though, do you think American journalists should remain in Russia?
That is such a tough call. And I certainly don't want to see my colleagues endangered, as important as it is to get the truth out.
It's an impossible call.
Yeah, if I was a bureau chief in Moscow, it's just so hard. I think it'd be an individual by individual case. It's like going to a war zone at this point, which is a sad statement. It's a big story. Moscow is just a gigantic story. It'd be inconceivable. We wouldn't be able to cover it, but it's dangerous.
Sad statement, but a true statement. Yeah. And of course, we're thinking of Evan Gershkovich and his family. David Brooks, Karen Tumulty, thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.